All right, we continue our study from the book of Romans. I understand we're in chapter 5, and that you've covered the first five verses. We'll just read that, and if you have any further questions or comments over anything there, we'll go over it. So, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What's the one word that kind of keeps popping up in those first five verses? Hope. Hope. And why do we have hope? Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ.
And because we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ.
And we know that. How? Okay. So it all comes back to knowing the Word of God. Goes back to faith, okay? Hearing what God says, trusting what God says. And how do we know what God says? What's the last phrase here in verse 5? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, okay? That's his job. Reveal the will of God through the Word of God. So it's through the Word of God that we know about Christ, we know about salvation, and we have this hope. Okay, so it all ties together. You got it? Okay. All right. Saw a guy. Yeah, they're rerunning some of the old game shows, I guess, and they want them to tell the truth. I just happened to catch one last night where a kid holds the world record for solving the Rubik's Cube with his feet. And it's like a few seconds, you know. It's amazing. And then, of course, after, you know, he was revealed to be the one that did it and everything, then he gets out there and does it, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, as I'm studying this passage here, that this is about like solving a Rubik's Cube. You know, it's rather interesting, but we'll get, you know, it's like Peter said, you know, Paul says a lot of things that are hard to understand. It's not that you can't understand them, it's just you've got to put forth some effort. Okay, all right, so for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Key statement. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Okay. So, there's a lot in that. And this is almost like an introduction to what's coming up. And it's like, I don't know, sometimes in the introduction, like, you have to know a lot in order to understand what he's saying here. But remember who he's talking to. Don't forget the point of these chapters. He is arguing, if you will, with those who were wanting to hold to some elements of the Mosaic Law. Okay? So you have to keep all of that in mind, you know, when you're reading this, because you have to read this not only reading what he is saying, but what he's not saying. For a righteous man, one will die. Who did they consider to be righteous?
Themselves,
the ones who lived under the Mosaic Law. Okay? But he's already made the point, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody can claim, I was righteous, therefore God saved me. No. Okay? Perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. So, the unmerited favor aspect of this, the grace of God on the front side of God's grace. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Well, if Christ died for us when we were sinners, then were we saved when we were sinners? Because Christ died 2,000 years ago, so aren't we already saved? Right, right. But you see where the, you know, those who are saved by grace alone and that sort of thing, these are their passages. You can see how they can twist these passages to say what they want to say. But what we're talking about is God's unmerited favor. He demonstrates his love towards us, okay, so that we might respond to his love, okay? He's not obligated to love us by anything other than his own character, okay? We didn't do anything that God says, well, I've got to save them now. No. After all, they did this for me, so I've got to do this for them. Nope. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's all on God, okay? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, were we actually reconciled while we were enemies? Or was the pathway to reconciliation made for us while we were enemies? See, that's the point. We didn't do anything that God says, well, I've got to make a pathway of reconciliation for him. No. We were sinners. And God says, I'm making a pathway of reconciliation. And it's going to blow your mind because it's going to be through my son, Jesus Christ. Okay? For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled. Okay, so instead of on the outside looking at the grace of God, he says, now we are reconciled. And we're saved by his life. This is going to come up again in the chapter here. Okay? Now you are in the favor of God. You're not just looking at the favor of God. And you're not just looking at the grace of God and what the grace of God has done so that you can be saved. Now you are reconciled. Now you abide in the grace, the favor of God. Okay? So it's so important that we understand the front side of God's grace and the, you might say, the back side of God's grace, inside God's grace. Okay? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We were enemies. You can't be reconciled when you're enemies. I mean, it's just... But he says, but we're not enemies anymore. Now we are reconciled. Okay? So, what are your comments or questions there before we move on? Yep. Yeah, that's a good analogy where basically to sum up what Pac said, you have to balance the books, okay? And, you know, you really don't, God doesn't really balance the books for us here until we get over or the revelation of it and sum it up until you get to chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, okay? Somebody has to pay the price. Okay, and so the price is death. And God says, I'm going to pay your price in the death of my son when there is no cause of death in him. There's no sin in him. When he died, he didn't die to save himself from his own sins because he didn't sin. Okay, so if he paid the price for our sins, somebody must have sinned. Yeah, we all did. Okay? John? Well, this chapter covers that. Yeah, well, maybe we'll put it in context here in just a few minutes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And keep in mind what I said at the beginning here. Don't just read what he says. Understand what he's not saying. Okay. No. I know we're not arguing here. I'm just reminding us. And this is a perfect verse to do that with. Verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through the practice of the Mosaic Law. You see, that's what they were wanting to do. They were boasting in the law. Okay? No, we rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Did we receive reconciliation through the practice of the Mosaic Law? No. He makes that argument here too, doesn't he? Yep. Exactly.
Some people say, well, it's just all forgiven. You know, price has to be paid.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not just printing money here. You know. Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if, through the old law, people were kind of urged to send the sacrifice and all that so that it might kind of lead up.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you know, I'll do this sin and I'll offer this sacrifice. I mean, you can go back to the book of Leviticus and it says, well, if you've done this and do this, you know, and so forth, okay, well, I'll do that, you know. And we kind of do the same thing today, you know. Well, if I sin, all I need to do is repent and confess of it and it'll be all right. That's right. Got it. There aren't any loopholes in the law of God, you know, whether it's the Mosaic law or the law of Christ. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So, through one man, sin entered the world, and death entered the world through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Okay? So, it's important to understand here that death, not sin, spread to all men. Was there an original sin? Yes. Did it pass to all men? No. And this verse says that it didn't. It says there was an original sin, okay? Sin was introduced to the world through one man, and death was introduced to the world through one man, but death spread to all men, okay? Nevertheless, their death is not going to pay the price for their sin. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that's where you go to if you're dealing with original sin. Paul's not dealing with original sin here, okay? Paul's dealing with this. Paul was dealing with all men, okay, with all sin. Thus, death spread to all men, both Jew and Gentile, okay? Because all, both Jew and Gentile, sinned. Okay? Then you'll notice that I put in parentheses verses 13 through 17 there. This is an explanation of what he's just said. Okay? And it's almost like the explanation almost becomes more confusing than what is said. And it's kind of interesting because the last paragraph of this chapter kind of explains this paragraph, but in plain language. But nevertheless,
yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. So, all sin. Four. Until the law, meaning the Mosaic law, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. The point that he's making is, therefore, just as justifying faith existed prior to the Mosaic law, which is what chapter 4 was all about, Abraham was justified by faith before circumcision, certainly long before the Mosaic law. Okay? And now he's making the same argument here, in principle, about sin. Okay? Therefore, just as justifying faith existed prior to the Mosaic law, the law of God, a law of God, existed prior to the Mosaic law. And we need to understand verse 13, for until the law, now he's talking about the Mosaic law, in other words, before the Mosaic law, sin was in the world. Well, if sin was in the world, what has to be in the world for sin to be in the world? The law has to, there can't be any transgression of the law if there is no law. So there had to be a law, okay? But sin is not imputed when there is no law. But there was a law, you see? There was a law, okay? Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. So what he's saying here is death, the consequence of Adam's sin, spread to all men, even those who have not sinned like Adam sinned. They didn't commit Adam's sin. They didn't eat of the forbidden fruit because they couldn't get access to the forbidden fruit. But did Cain disobey God? Yeah. Okay. So there was a law. Okay. So the point is that the consequence of Adam's sin, death, physical death, spread to all men. Okay. So why do babies die? Why do infants die? Why do children who have never sinned? Why do people who are incapable of even grasping the concept of law and transgression of law, why do they die? Because Adam sinned and death passed upon all men. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Hello.
What does it mean, who is a type of
man? Oh, well, we're getting to that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going fast enough.
That's okay.
Okay. All right. Good question.
You mentioned very correct. Can all the people who perish in the flood get the same, it's the same thing? They inherit the consequence of that sin.
Yeah. All right, so now I found it easier to kind of break this up. Let's read the rest of this through verse 17, and then we'll come back and we'll notice this. Let me take that out of there, okay? Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Continue to read. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Clear. It's just easy. But he's doing a comparison. Okay, so this helps me. Maybe it'll help you. Okay, so you've got Adam, his sin, the consequence of his sin, death passed upon all men. Okay, by one man's offense, many died. Verse 16, that which came through the one who sinned, Adam, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. You're going to die. Okay? Yeah, yeah. They eat of it, you will die. Okay? Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one. Did it? Does it? Yeah, still does. Okay? Still does. Okay? All right. The other side of it. Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. And that's really, 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 really interesting phraseology. Because it's a different kind of type. It's not a... I mean, Adam is like Christ in the sense that he did one thing and that had a consequence on all men, okay? And Jesus did one thing and that can result in a consequence for all men, okay? So that's the comparison, that's the type. But the emphasis is not upon... The emphasis is not upon the type. It's not upon Adam, okay? The emphasis is upon the antitype, Jesus, okay? So it's a real interesting construction of type and antitypes. But anyway, him who was to come, okay, what came from him? What did he get? He gave the free gift. The key phrase, free gift, okay? Then as you drop down to verse 15, the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift, drop down later in verse 16, the free gift which came from many offenses, so, and he's going to make the point in chapter 6, as he begins chapter 6, well, if our offenses cause the grace of God to be seen, then why don't we just keep on sinning and let God's grace be more, even more evident, okay? And that's what he's saying here. He says, our offenses is what resulted in God acting in grace and love for our justification, okay? Kind of backwards, you know, but it's still kind of what happened. If it wasn't for our offenses, we might not have fully realized the full extent of God's grace and love for us. All of us might have. I mean, I'm sure that was God's intention. Yeah. And would we have ever known that true love will lay down its life for its friends? See, if he didn't have to lay down his life, would we really know the magnitude of God's love? That's what he's saying here, okay? Verse 17, he says, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Okay. Got some more for you, okay? So the gift is not like the offense. The the offense was by one man's offense, many died. Okay? The other side of it is, through one man's offense, many died. But the other side of it is, the gift by grace of one man abounded to many. See the difference? Yeah. So it's a comparison of contrast, you see. So the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. Something should have happened there, and I just meant. Okay. Okay. Resulted in condemnation. Okay. On the other hand, the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. Okay. These are rather subtle changes, I can tell. Maybe they are for you too. I don't know. Maybe it'd be better if I was looking it up there with you. Okay. Let me back it up here a little bit. Okay. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but condemnation. Did you see that? Okay. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. So we're contrasting condemnation with justification here. For by one man's offense, death reigned through one. Much more, okay, so the condemnation, right, is death. The wages of sin is death, okay? Those who receive the abundance of the grace of the gift of righteousness will reign through the life of one, Jesus Christ. And so there's the justification needs kind of to be explained, defined, if you will. There's an explanation to it. And here's the explanation. The justification is reigning in life through the one who was and is Jesus Christ. And that's the point of the free gift up here. Okay, the free gift, this is it, is the righteousness that we practice because of the life of the one, Jesus Christ. Okay? And, just so we don't forget, that's what this is about. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. For in it, in the gospel, the what? No, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For in it, verse 17, what is revealed? The righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God has been revealed to us in the gospel. And in that sense, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a free gift. It was given to us. We didn't do anything. And God says, well, I have to give them this gift. Okay? We got it? I think we could finish this chapter, believe it or not. Because the rest of it goes kind of quick. So we'll leave this up here. Okay? Don't forget this. Okay? Therefore, just as through the one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, Jew and Gentile. For all Jew and Gentile have sinned. Okay? Either sinned against the Mosaic law or sinned against the patriarchal law. Okay? But we've all sinned. All right. Here's the rest of the chapter. Therefore, as through one man's offense, Adam, okay, judgment came to all men resulting in condemnation. That condemnation is death, physical death, okay? We're not talking about you're all going to hell kind of condemnation. It's the condemnation of death. The wages of sin is death, okay? That's what he's talking about. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification to life. Justification means to declare right. Yeah, you were wrong, now I'm declaring you right. How can you do that? Because my son paid the price of your sin in his death, okay, and he arose from the dead, and you're to live in his life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. That doesn't mean that you are made sinners by the sin of Adam. Okay? Saint Adam introduced sin into the world. Okay? Any more than you were made righteous because Jesus is righteous. No, Jesus introduced righteousness to us. Okay, he revealed righteousness to us. So now you've got the choice. Are you going to follow Adam or are you going to follow Jesus? All right? Moreover, you can read that. Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9 and Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 12. Especially Hebrews 5 and verse 9, okay? And Hebrews 10 and verse 12. Those two verses are the summation of the totality of what I've got up there. But that just tells us what Jesus did. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey him. Okay, so what did Jesus do? He obeyed. What do we have to do? We have to obey. Okay? Moreover, the law, meaning the Mosaic law, entered that the offense might abound. Okay, so the law made you more sinful, therefore more condemned. God is justified in condemning you because you broke the law. Okay? So why do you want to glory in the law? Remember who he's talking to. Okay? The law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, and it does, sin still reigns in death, okay? Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Comparison of contrast. Death reigns, but Christ reigns. And Christ is greater. Christ can say, not guilty. Okay? All we have to do is choose to follow him. Okay? So sin reigned in death. Grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, not the Mosaic law. Okay? So, you know, when you're reading these phrases, you know, that we're very familiar with, you know, we're looking at this argument 2,000 years from when it was made. Okay? And it's easy for us to realize what is Paul all hot under the collar about, you know? Your righteousness is not in the practice of the Mosaic law. Your righteousness is in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. He's the one who paid the price for your sin. He's the one who secured your salvation. He's the one who revealed righteousness to us. You see, he's the life that you're to live, not the life of our forefathers under the Mosaic law. You see, he's our example, not those under the Mosaic law, even though somebody could say, well, what about Hebrews chapter 11? Yeah, but that's a different example. Okay. And a lot of them didn't practice the Mosaic law. Yeah.
So
what?
But him
Okay? Yeah? Good point. All right, and again, that takes you right back to the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the justified will live by faith. The faith that comes by hearing the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Was that too fast, or have we got it? You just about have to cover it all in one thing, or you're going to get disconnected from it. All right? So, chapter